Your board game collection. How many games are in it? What types of games? What does your collection say about you as a person? Let's get into this topic on tonight's Gamecasters Adjacent.
Natalie, Jeff, and Ryan are the Gamecasters, and they do a board game show. Inboxes and nooks of games are top five lists, and sometimes there's fart jokes.
As of the day of this recording, excluding expansions and games I've pre-ordered or have coming via Kickstarter, I have 306 games. I've got 464 marked as previously owned, so in total, I've owned about 770 games. To most people outside of the hobby, that's an astronomically almost incomprehensible number to fathom. To most people inside the hobby, that's a decent amount. You wouldn't think there would be enough content to talk about a board game collection, a very meta topic in the world of gaming, but man, is there so much to explore in this space. Like roaming the vast countryside in Elden Ring, you can explore in any direction and come upon something that will take you away for hours on end if you let it. I've talked before about what type of gamer I am. I buy games to play, which sounds obvious, but what I mean by that is I don't just collect games like collectors collect things to sit and be admired, and if they never get opened, so be it. My previously owned statistic shows this. I'm not afraid to move a game out if I'm not enjoying it or don't think I'll play it soon. I mean, I still have 306 games in my collection, so I'm not necessarily very good at it, but that's at least supposed to be the idea, that at any time I could pick one of these 306 games to play and be happy about it. Board gamers are a pretty unique brand of people. Your hobby says a lot more about your personality than you may think. For instance, let's take me. I have more games previously owned than owned. By extension, that kind of speaks to who I am as a person. I'm not usually super content, I'm pretty indecisive, and more than anything, impulsive. I have little problem letting material things go, and actually enjoy both selling and giving away games. I also have 306 games, which tells me that I love being the one to show people games. I love to host. I love options. I love variety. I love the thrill of the chase. I can tell all of this by just looking at the numbers of games I own versus games I don't. Psychology via game collection. I mean, I can also tell all this because I'm me and I know myself pretty well, but it tracks and it's fascinating to me that it does. What does your collection say about you? Are you a hoarder? The type who thinks to themselves, there might be a situation where I get the perfect group together and have 6 hours to play this game, and so I'll keep it because, hey, you never know. Even though you know the odds of that happening are almost zero, as you've had this game for 10 years already and have never had this mystical situation occur. But if you let it go, what will happen? So your collection balloons up, or you never let games leave your collection. Or are you the type that keeps a very minimal collection and lets your friends buy them all because this way you get to play everything and don't have to waste your own space? This person might be much more laid back and submissive, not wanting to be in the spotlight picking games and teaching them. Yuck. They just like to show up and have a good time and then go home. But occasionally their husband likes to play games, so they'll keep a few around the house. I know a lot of people who have serious trouble letting things go as it relates to games. Gamers can be very particular, as we all know. I used to be this way for so many years. If something happens to my game, I'm going to freak out. The thought of a legacy game scared the shit out of me, because I'm not going to write on my board. Are you serious? Rip a card? What am I, in hell? It's a similar thing with getting rid of games, or consolidating games. I have a card box that holds a ton of My Little Box card games, and I've just completely thrown out the original boxes. To some gamers, though, that's basically domestic violence. I know some people who buy expansions to their games, move the expansions to the base box, but then keep all the expansion boxes in storage. Why? I don't know. So a question I'm going to ask a number of times, which I've already asked before, is what does your gaming collection say about you? How large is your collection? How often do you move games? Part of the difference for me is also on the front end. For instance, I typically buy games at a pretty quick rate. Now, I've slowed way down in the past year or so, but historically, if I saw something that looked cool, I'd buy it. I do my research, but so many things look awesome or look like they might be the most fun game yet. They never are. Sturgeon's Law holds up. In my collection of 306 games, there are probably only about 30 or so that I consider incredible. The 10% of the 10%, right? So what spawned this discussion was me looking at my collection and taking into account my desire, remember that, and thinking to myself, do I need 306 games in my collection given the fact that my gaming desire is lower than ever? Hell no! So I am considering another mass exodus. I buy games to play. And I'm not playing, so I kind of feel like mental clutter with all these games. It's like white noise and I need to purge. So anyway, on the front end, I typically buy games at a pretty decent clip. How do you do it? Do you do extensive research before you buy a game? How many games do you purchase in a year, do you think? Are you a Kickstarter-holic? Are you afflicted with the acquisition disorder? Are you a Kool-Aid-drinking member of the Cult of the New? The answer to all those questions for me is yes, and it's fun. It's fun buying new games, tracking them online, getting that notification that your order's arrived is great. That rush is most of the reason that I'm in this position. So, we have the rush of buying new games, the wonder of what it might be, the lies we tell ourselves when we talk about playing these games, the lies we tell ourselves after we play a game we don't like. Oh, I just probably need another play with a different group at a different player count with people who want to have fun and be silly. In reality, I know almost instantly if a game has it or not. We just played the new Phil Walker Harding game, Llama Land, and it was fine. Maybe even good. But was it special in any way? You'll hear about it on the next full episode, but spoiler alert, nah. Not really. I could lie to myself and figure out ways to keep it around, never playing it again, because that's probably what will happen after I maybe play it one more time. Or I could just move it now, clearing up space on both my game shelves and my mind. So it's also interesting to me what types of games to keep in your collection. Now, since I buy games to play, I like to try and have games for all sorts of different situations. Are you like this too? I feel like most people who have board game collections are. We like to be the ones showing people games mostly, right? So it's so much fun for me to show a new group pictures in the same way it is for me to show a group of more hardcore gamers something like Hadrian's Wall or On Mars. That rush that I feel being the one to show you the next best thing is one of the reasons I love to buy games and play games. So let me talk a bit about some ideas for help. If you're out there, like I was, just buying everything in sight and not really knowing what to do, maybe consider the following. Back in 2009, Cody Jones from the Game On podcast came up with this theory that you should only keep one game of a certain type in your collection. Have you heard of this? It's called the Jones theory. So, for instance, if you like worker placement games, pick your favorite one and buy that one. Own that one. Do you need Agricola and Caverna and Kalis and Lords of Waterdeep and Stone Age and? The idea is that you really only want to play the best of all of these anyway, so what's the point in owning them all, right? Pick one. This is a way to limit game collections while also still having representation of a bunch of different mechanisms. For me, I don't totally ascribe to it, but what I do is more keep it in mind whenever I buy a new game or whenever I play a new game. That's kind of like one that I already have. For instance, I'm getting rid of Cottage Garden, which was like my favorite of all the polyomino games I played, if you remember. And the reason I loved it so much was because you could fill up multiple boards throughout the game, and that was just so satisfying to me. Well, after I made that list, I played Project L. And holy fucking shit, that game just completely fired Cottage Garden for me. There's really no reason to keep it around when I would just always want to play Project L. This is sort of an extension of the Jones theory. I felt the same about Scythe. I was an original Kickstarter backer of Scythe, and when it came in, I played it and kept saying, wow, this is so cool. It kind of reminds me of Terra Mystica, actually. And then by the end of the game, I was like, you know what? I think this is just making me want to play Terra Mystica. I think I'd always rather play Terra Mystica, actually. And so out Scythe went, gone. And that's kind of an extension of the Jones theory. You know, do I need a lot of these games that feel like a lot of other games? And that sounds really obvious, but it's not until you think about it. So I'm encouraging you to think about it. Think about all the games you have in your collection. If you're not a collector, if you're a collector, none of this is really going to pertain to you. You don't give a shit. You just like buying games and having a ton of games, and that's all you want. If you're a player, a playa, and you really want to kind of consider and craft and hone and curate a perfect collection, consider the Jones theory. Do you need 5 deck builders? Probably not, but maybe you do. Now, personally, I'm too wishy-washy, impulsive, and needing of change to take this too seriously, but it's an idea for anyone out there looking to cut back their collection size. And like I said before, it's a really good way to figure out what games you want to keep versus get rid of once you get over the idea that getting rid of games is bad. Because it's good. It's healthy. Do it. Getting rid of games can be so cathartic. I've gotten rid of, what did I say, 400 or so games. Of those 400 and some games, because I know what you're thinking. I don't want to get rid of this game. I'm going to regret it. I'm going to regret it, or that situation that I, you know, hasn't happened in a decade is going to happen the moment I get rid of it, or the game's going to go out of print, and damn, I'll never be able to get it again, and I'm going to be so upset. Now, I can't tell you for sure whether you're going to be right or wrong about that. However, what I can tell you is that I have had, again, 400 and so or so games leave my collection. And I did some statistics a while ago, and I should have pulled it up for this adjacent episode, but I didn't. There's something like, I went through all of them. I went through every single one of them that I've gotten rid of. And it was something like 1% that I would maybe consider buying back. And then of that 1%, like 1% of that was a game that I wanted, that I regretted getting rid of. So out of 430 games all round two, like one half of 1% or something ridiculous that I actually, would I actually buy again? So I was right, you know, and a lot of these games I get rid of right away. Cause you know, you usually, you know yourself. If a game's getting a lot of hype and you play it and you don't like it at all, it's easy to be like, well, I just need to play it one more time. Let me just play it again. Cause you were so hyped up. You don't want to feel stupid. You're going to feel stupid. You don't want to feel like an idiot. Like, you just pumped this game up like crazy in your own head. You played it. You were like, oh, this kind of sucked. And you don't want to let yourself believe that you were wrong. So what you'll do is you'll play it again and you'll try like hell to like it. But typically, we know ourselves. You know what I mean? You know yourself. It's not super common that you'll play a game, you'll have a terrible experience, and then you'll play it again and you'll love it. Now, that does happen, like we talked about in previous episodes. Your mood can be a huge determining factor. Say, there's a million outside influences that can influence your play of a game. And I completely am aware and understand all that. However, for the most part, on the whole, the trend is that typically you know yourself. So believe yourself, trust yourself. And if a game doesn't hit, get rid of it, move it, sell it, give it away. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But another idea is something my old podcasting compatriot Jeremy used to do. There's a challenge on BoardGameGeek every year. What's it called? It's called like... I can't remember what it's called. It's basically like a pledge, like a personal pledge. I won't buy a new game this year. Now, this is a little bit ridiculous to me. But there is a challenge. It's not to buy a new game every year. It encourages you not only to save money by, you know, not just being ensnared and trapped by the call to the new, because it can be overwhelming and stressful and you can waste a lot of money, but to also play the games you already have to strengthen your bond with those games. You have games in your collection that you know you love. Don't buy a new game this year. Instead, play all the ones that you know you love, right? So Jeremy used to do that. It's crazy. He had a collection of about 100 games when I met him, and now his collection is down to like 12 or something, and he's perfectly happy, and he still considers himself a gamer, game designer, all that kind of stuff, but he's got like 12 games, because that's all he plays. That's all he wants to play. Another idea is to buy all the new games you want, but end the year with your number of games not allowed to increase. So if, say, you buy 3 new games and you love them all, you need to then get rid of 3 other games that were in your collection previously, right? So let's say you have a goal of 100. 100 is the number I want. I bought 10 games this year. Now my number is 110. Oh, I better get rid of 10 other games to keep it at 100. Again, this is just to kind of keep you focused, right? And not get too out of control, whatever it is, if you think that's out of control. Another idea is the 10x10 challenge. If anyone doesn't know about this now, the 10x10 challenge was started by Sarah Reed, who is Silva Shadow on BoardGameGeek back in 2014, and it's everywhere now, so I'm pretty sure everybody knows it. But if you don't, it's where you pick 10 games and you play them 10 times each during the year. This encourages both playing your games more, as well as only playing the games you like the most. This could really help pare down a collection. I've tried almost every single year since 2014 when it began and failed miserably every single time. It just doesn't work for me because I just buy too much stuff. But the idea is still great. I love the idea behind it. Take 10 games that maybe you think need multiple plays to really unlock their mysteries, you know, some like heavier game. Play them 10 times each. That will sure assuredly help limit your collection size. Now, nothing I think can make you feel better than doing a giveaway. Back in January of 2019, I ran an auction on BoardGameGeek where I auctioned off games for good deeds. People would bid good deeds on each game. Like, for instance, the starting bid for King of Tokyo was to give 5 compliments to 5 random people. The winning bid was 201 compliments. Now, it's all in the honor system, but still. Other things were handwriting letters to relatives, vowing not to road rage for a certain number of drives, donating clothes, paying for the meal the next time you go out with your friends, to saying hi and smiling to the next number of people you encountered. It was so much fun. Made everyone who took part feel good and did wonders for both my collection reduction as well as my soul. If you've ever wanted to run an auction on BoardGameGeek to get rid of games, which is a great way to do it, consider something like this. Unless, of course, you really need the money, which is another awesome motivator. For those of you absolutely content with your enormous collections, that is great. Maybe you play so many games, you'll get to them all, maybe. Maybe you won't, and that's okay too. It's very interesting to me to talk about this. And it's very interesting to me to hear what you guys think. So please, head on over to the Gamecasters Discord server and let me know your thoughts on your own collection in the adjacent discussion channel. And answer the following questions for me, if you would. How many games do you currently own? How many games have you previously owned, if you track that? Do you think your collection is a reflection of your personality in some way? Why or why not? Are you content with it? Do you want to reduce? Do you want to increase? Do you ascribe to the Jones theory? Have you ever tried the 10x10? And what do you want your collection to look like at this time next year? So thank you all for hanging out. We will hopefully have another flagship episode for you in 2 weeks as Jeff settles into having two little minions of his own. And until then, my name is Ryan, and you have been listening to The Gamecasters. Good night, everybody.